welcome to the Kingdom Investor Podcast. This is your host, Daniel White, and today we'll be talking about what a kingdom investor is. So I wanted to spend a few minutes just diving into some scriptures and looking at what Jesus says about money. Money is one of the things that Jesus talks about the most in scripture, and there are so many passages that we could go to. But I just wanted to focus on three, and really these three kind of outline what a kingdom investor is. And the first key of key characteristic of a kingdom investor is that they have kingdom perspective. So if we turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So a lot of times, you know, we read these passages and we're like, yeah, you know, whatever. And we don't really, we kind of skim over them, and we don't really take them seriously. We don't take Jesus seriously, but these are Jesus' words, and he's telling his audience and his disciples that they need to have a kingdom perspective and really understand that nothing on this earth is of eternal value, and that it will all burn up and it'll all be destroyed. And the only thing that will have eternal significance is our soul. And we need to reach people with the gospel and bring them into the kingdom and build God's kingdom here on earth. And what's been really interesting, where it talks about, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Caitlin and I have really found this to be true in, you know, in our journey of growing as kingdom investors and investing more of our time, talents, and treasure in God's kingdom. We've really seen our hearts move towards God's kingdom. And it's really interesting because it's almost like the world and the things of this world kind of fade from our view, and God's kingdom really gets brighter and closer, and we focus on it, and we have an internal perspective. So that's the first key characteristic of a kingdom investor. And then the second one is a kingdom investor is kingdom focused. And I'm actually going to read two verses here, but the first one is later on in the Beatitudes where Jesus is talking about don't be anxious about anything. And this is right after he talks about you cannot serve both God and money, and kind of helps us to see that a lot of times we idolize money and we pursue money and we worship money, but that he wants us to worship him, not money. And you know, when we make that transition, it can be very scary, and we really do have to grow in our trust in God because we're no longer trusting in money. And so there's that void, and so, you know, we feel like we have to trust in something, but we want to put our trust in God. So immediately following that you cannot serve God and money, he says, don't be anxious. And so, you know, he reassures us that He will provide for us and sustain us. And at the end of that passage, it talks about what we need to do rather than worrying about what we eat or what we drink or what we wear. God's going to take care of that, but we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other little things will be taken care of. So this is really focusing us on God's kingdom and building God's kingdom and focusing on the priority. And so the next passage I want to read is Matthew 13, verse 44. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found, and he covered it up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So, of course, the treasure is, you know, is an example of the kingdom of God, and somebody realizing that the kingdom of God is worth more than anything this earth could offer, and really focusing in on God's kingdom and putting it in its proper place as the most important thing that we could ever focus on. So that's the second piece of being a kingdom investor, is being kingdom focused. And then the third passage is in Matthew chapter 19. And this is a really unique passage because it's kind of, you know, a fly on the wall, get to see the interaction between this rich young man and Jesus. And I'm just going to read this section for us. And I want to try to put on new ears and act like we're hearing this for the first time and really try to think about, you know, what's going on here. So it starts out in verse 16, chapter 19. "And behold, a man came to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deeds must I do to have eternal life?'" You know, because he's thinking like, okay, well, I can do a bunch of good works and that's going to earn me salvation, right? "And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.'" And so Jesus really perceives the root of the issue and the true sin in this man's life, because he thinks he's perfect. He thinks he is following all the laws, following all the commands, and he's asking how he can come into a relationship with God through Jesus and how he can earn eternal life. And Jesus is like, you can't earn it. There's nothing, you can't be perfect. But what he's telling him and what he is perceiving this guy's life is that the man's wealth has become his means to a personal identity. It has become a sense of power and a sense of meaning in his life. And that really it's become the idolatrous God of his life. And so instead of worshiping God on the heart of this, or the throne of this man's heart, he's put this money and this possession, these possessions on the throne of his heart, and he's really worshiping these. And so Jesus, you know, cuts right to the chase, and he's like, if you really want to be my follower, you have to completely dethrone money in your life, and you have to put me on the throne of your life, and you have to come into a relationship. It's not about all of this good work. It's not about all of following the law. It's about coming into a relationship, accepting this free gift that I'm offering. And so later on in this same passage, he's saying, "Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will the rich person enter the kingdom of heaven." Because the young man When he hears this, he sorrowfully leaves because he had great possessions. And so, you know, that it's a really sad story about this man choosing to worship his possessions instead of God. And it's just heartbreaking. And his disciples turn to him right after this, and they're like, but how is a rich person supposed to enter heaven? And he tells them, you know, that by themselves, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And then at the end of the passage, it says that Peter replies, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus says to them, "Truly, I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life." This is really so surprising because, you know, we think about investing and, you know, we're like, oh, wow, you know, we can make a 20% return every year or, you know, a 30% return. And that's, you know, that's an amazing, like, financial return. But what God is saying is that if we invest in his kingdom, if we basically give everything and we live our lives for his kingdom, that investment will return 100-fold or 10,000% ROI. And that just blows my mind because, and what's even funnier is right after that, he says, oh, and by the way, you'll also inherit eternal life, as if that's not enough. And so, yeah, it's just a really cool passage and just helps us to be kingdom driven and to realize how important in comparison to things of this world is God's kingdom. And really thinking about our motives and is the motivation of our heart to be in control, to be on the throne of our heart, to advance our own agenda, or is it to advance God's kingdom, to bring him glory, to bring people to know him, and to invest in his kingdom? So, you know, that's the three key characteristics of a kingdom investor. First of all, having the kingdom perspective, the point of view where we see what truly is important. We see that the kingdom of God is so much more important than the things of this earth. And then the second one, being kingdom focused and really honing in on what is it God's calling me to do? What is it God's calling me to invest? What is it that God is showing me and inviting me into that I can join him in the work that he's doing to expand his kingdom and grow his kingdom and bring more people to know him? And then the third one, being kingdom driven, having the right motive and not having a distorted motive or a self-serving motive, but truly having the motive of wanting to see God's glory, his name made great in the nations, and his name made known among all the nations. And so, you know, that kind of encapsulates in, you know, in this brief episode about what a kingdom investor is. And, you know, just to kind of summarize, thinking about a kingdom investor is someone who understands that everything that they have belongs to God. They have chosen to live a life of commitment to God's kingdom. They've lived a life of contentment rather than excess, and they really seek to be led by the Holy Spirit to be held accountable and to further God's kingdom. So that kind of concludes, just what I wanted to cover, talking about the kingdom investor and what they look like and who they are. And really the heart behind this podcast is to encourage kingdom investors out there, to help them take the next step of growth, to be more like Christ, to pursue his kingdom, to effectively really shed off the things of this earth and to put on the things of heaven and to take one more step towards investing our time, talents, and treasure into God's kingdom. And one of the things that's been really amazing in my life is getting to see how God has transformed lives as I pursue his kingdom more and more, and I invest more and more into his kingdom. And I'm just so excited to be, connecting with all of these different kingdom builders and unifying them and helping them collaborate and helping them meet other kingdom builders that they can work together to finish the Great Commission. And I truly believe that we have the manpower and the funds to finish the Great Commission. And, mobilizing the funds to do that, mobilizing the capital to do that, and the people to do that, and really casting the vision of it being possible for us to finish the Great Commission in this generation, for every ear to hear the gospel, and for every heart to have an opportunity to come into a relationship with God and live for him and glorify him in their lives. And I'm just so excited to get to see all of these different people doing that, and being able to encourage other believers in doing that. All right, so I will see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening, and looking forward to connecting with many of you and for you to take another step towards being a kingdom investor in God's kingdom. Thank you very much. See you next time.